Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Monday, the 2nd of June. I'm Christian Jones, and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. Coming up, a new government report has highlighted both progress and persistent challenges around poverty on the Isle of Man. The courts could soon be granted new legal powers, allowing them to electronically tag those on bail. And we'll get the latest from the TT as we conclude day one of racing. All those stories and more, do get in touch if you want to comment on anything you hear. Text WhatsApp to 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's cross over to the news studio and join Amy Griffiths for a look at the latest headlines. Fast Amai, Amy.
Fast Amai. In breaking news, police have confirmed in the last few minutes that a male juvenile has been charged with murder after a 14-year-old boy died in Ramsey last week. Christopher McBurney died as a result of his injuries during an incident in the Close Dreen area on the afternoon of Thursday, the 29th of May. Due to the age of the individual, the identity of the boy who's been charged can't be released. He'll appear before the next available court. Government says it's working with campsite providers and commissioners to provide severe weather contingency plans for TT campers. It's as a yellow weather warning for gale force winds comes into force on the Isle of Man from 9 o'clock tonight. As a safety precaution, the entire mountain road is closing to traffic from 7 o'clock until the completion of racing tomorrow. The island's ambulance service says it's on track to equal its busiest ever TT. So far, it's responded to nearly 500 calls as we enter race week. Will Bellamy is the head of the service.
Our busiest one was 2022 and it was sort of 726 calls. So we'll see how race week goes. We might exceed 2022's figures or somewhere similar.
To international news now, and Ukraine and Russia have agreed another prisoner swap during their latest round of peace talks in Turkey. But there was no concrete deal on a permanent end to the fighting more than 3 years after the conflict broke out. Fresh searches are going to be carried out in the investigation into the disappearance of Madeleine McCann. German police say they're going to look near the area in Portugal where their prime suspect lived at the time. And Mount Etna in Sicily has erupted, sending a huge plume of ash into the sky. Businesses and tourists have been evacuated from the area. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with your news in full at 6.
Gurumaya, thank you for that, Amy. Let's take a quick look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. There is a yellow weather warning in place. That's from 9 o'clock tonight through till 4 in the morning tomorrow, and that is for gales. The likely areas to be affected is all the way across the island. Wind speeds of up to 55 miles per hour in some places. Elsewhere, though, it's fine and sunny for most of today. Southerly winds will increase and become stronger later, with cloud increasing through the evening. Maximum temperature of 15 degrees Celsius. Then around 10 or 11 o'clock, heavy rain will arrive as the winds reach gale force in places. Those winds are relatively unusual for June, so campers are being advised to make sure that their tents and all their belongings are as secure as possible.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
Feel the fun at the TT races with Tesco. Visit your local store to top up your tank with snacks and refreshments for race day. Tesco, every little helps.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view delshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zet's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all-island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Bigode Cashery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cashery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. contact Bagode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bagode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
5 past 5, and in the last couple of minutes, we've learned some more about the murder investigation that was prompted following last week's tragic events in Ramsey. Lewis Foster is with us now with the statement from police. First to my, Lewis, what can you tell us?
First to my, yes. This, the latest statement from police. As part of our continuing investigation into the death of Christopher Benjamin Robert James McBurney on Thursday, the 29th of May 2025, in Cronk Dreen in Ramsey, a male juvenile has been charged with murder following advice from His Majesty's Attorney General's Chambers. Due to the age of the individual and in accordance with the laws governing juveniles on the island, no further identifying information will be released at this time. The juvenile will appear before the next available court. The statement goes on to say Detective Superintendent Stephen Maddox says, "We would like to thank the public for coming forward and providing information and media footage, which has been vital for the police investigation. If anyone who has any information or footage of the incident that hasn't already been spoken to by the police, they are asked to contact police headquarters on 631212 or contact Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111. The online portal remains open, and this allows you to submit any information, including footage and imagery, to the investigation team." Now, the statement goes on to say, "I want to reiterate the appeal the Chief Constable made on Friday regarding videos and rumours circulating on social media, and appeal for the public to refrain from sharing such content or speculating on this matter. The investigation continues and a police presence remains on scene in the area whilst we continue our investigation. We are currently investigating allegations," it says, "of people making threats of retribution to others, both children and adults, on social media and in person. We've already made arrests and are currently investigating other reports that will likely result in further arrests. It's understandable that emotions are running high, but it's important to remind all concerned that these incidents detract from the investigation of the death of a 14-year-old child, as well as policing the TT Festival. I would ask that adults and parents involved in this behaviour set an example to their children and ensure their children are safe online." Well, police say anyone who feels they need immediate support should contact the Crisis Response and Home Treatment Team on 642 860. St Christopher's, the Youth Service and I'll Listen will also be providing support through Streetwise officers and will be opening youth drop-in centres across the island next week. These sessions will be in Ramsey, 1 p.m. till 5 p.m, Ramsey Youth Centre and Cafe on Waterloo Road in Ramsey, and in Douglas from 1 p.m. until 5 p.m. on Cafe Larry on 1 Lord Street, Douglas, in Castletown as well from 1 until 4 p.m. at I'll Listen at Mill Court, that's on Hope Street. So just a reminder of that statement that we've had through in the last few minutes from police. A juvenile has been charged with the murder of 14-year-old Christopher McBurney. And you can find all of that information now over at manxradio.com.
Thank you very much, Lewis.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Approaching 9 minutes past 5, and the island's courts could soon be able to use electronic tags to track people on bail. Tim Walt will be asked to approve new legal powers later this month that would prepare the way for those awaiting trial and sentencing to be monitored electronically. The details from Sean Cowper.
The tags, typically worn around the ankle, would mean a person's location would be known 24/7, allowing authorities to ensure an individual is complying with their bail conditions, such as an overnight curfew. It's hoped the move would mean more people can remain in the community, reserving custody for the most serious offences, as well as helping manage prison occupancy. A tagging pilot previously took place in 2022 and was expanded to include those being released on licence or parole. Those recommended for electronic monitoring would be subject to a rigorous risk assessment first. If approved, the legal instruments would lay the groundwork to allow tagging to begin this year. The Department of Home Affairs says it's also developing options to use electronic monitoring as part of community-based sentences for both juvenile and adult offenders. The department confirmed the costs associated with tagging would come from its existing budget. The legal framework will be discussed when the island's parliament sits later this month.
The details there from Sean Cowper. Thank you very much. Well, it's 5:10 now, and it's also that time of the year where tens of thousands of visitors arrive. But what impression will they take away when it comes to how clean and well presented the Isle of Man really is? The Destination First Board was created to tackle just that, aiming to improve the way the island looks and feels, not only for tourists, but also for those that live here too. It follows growing concern in recent years about rusting railings, neglected public areas, and unfinished building sites in key locations. Well, one person that we know about who's long called for improvements is historian and filmmaker Charles Gard. He's welcomed the focus, but says there's still a long way to go.
The discussions we're having here today are discussions we've heard again and again and again and again. How difficult is it to just tidy the place up? That's really what my message has been. And I made a couple of videos pointing that out. And I think it's because of that I was punished by being put on this committee as a people's champion. And what I've discovered is that we talk a lot and gradually things are getting done. But as you said to me when you were a minister years ago, there's no point in dumping piles more work on the civil servants. They're only ordinary people and they'll, you know, get crushed under it. So you can only do so much at a time. But with Ranald and the team here, I mean, Ranald is an absolute live wire. He's not going to be put down by anything. We are going to get these things done.
The two most talked about videos you've ever produced are about how bad the state of the island is, and yet you've made these wonderful films about how good various aspects of the island are. Does it gring a little bit that the only ones that people seem to really want to talk about are the what's wrong with the island?
Well, yes. What does that say? I don't know. The negative ones, and I don't want them to be negative. I'm trying to point out, saying this doesn't have to be like this. Can we just get this right? They do seem to get passed around much more than the rather pretty ones that I do.
Phil Gorn speaking to historian and filmmaker Charles Gard there. You can listen to the full conversation in Perspective, available now as a podcast at manxradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts from. Well, let's turn our attention now to something that continues to rumble on, and that's the family library, which is set to close at the end of July. And there's been growing calls to save the much-loved service. Its directors say the charity is no longer financially viable, and the government has already said it can't offer extra funding in addition to what it's already providing. But Douglas East MHK Joni Farragher wants ministers to step in and come up with a long-term solution. She's been speaking to Lewis Foster.
It has such a special place in a lot of people's hearts. It is not just a place that people go to get books. You know, it's a place that people have used. I personally used it as a child, and it was a huge impact in my life. It was not just a place that I went to get books at all. You know, it's somewhere that, you know, social skills and literacy are developed. It's somewhere that, you know, as a new parent going there, when I used it, it was somewhere where I could sort of get some headspace. You know, it wasn't any expectation that you would spend a whole load of money. It was a warm space. You know, there's just so many things that the family library provides. In government terms, the money that they need isn't a huge amount, and with what it adds to our island, I don't think we should let it go. I think this should be a priority for the government.
There has been, of course, funding support for the family library going back the last few years, so this would be on top of what it's already been receiving. Are you proposing that £100,000 that they're losing each year is what is added on top of that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my motion actually just calls for the Council of Ministers to come up with a sustainable funding, as well as obviously to take these urgent steps to prevent the closure. But so I'm not going to suggest a solution to them. I'm asking them to explore all options, you know, and I think I'm fairly confident that the family library themselves will have some ideas of what can be done, that there might be something worked out with Douglas Council. There might, you know, whatever it is that happens, as long as it works with family library, as long as it keeps that library open, keeps those services open for the people of the island, you know, that's what I want them to explore.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, it's approaching 5:15. Let's take a look at the roads. I'm going to get all of this right. It is TT, so I can appreciate it. Quite a lot to take in. There's no roadworks of any note. It seems to have been rested for most of TT. So let's just look at the status of the course and the road closures. Currently, the full TT course is reopened. That reopened from around about 1/4 hour ago. But the mountain roads will not be accessible from the Ramsey Hairpin to the Craig from 7 o'clock, and that's due to the yellow weather warning, which we've already talked about, for gale force winds. And that will actually stay closed until racing concludes tomorrow afternoon, which is expected to be around about 5 o'clock. Tomorrow morning, all roads around the course will be closing from 10, again reopening no later than 5 o'clock, pretty much the same all week bar Thursday. If you are out and about and you do spot anything that you feel we need to be aware of, ping us a text or email 166 177 or studio@manxradio.com. Over at the Steam Packet, we're being told, obviously, the gale force winds, which are forecast late tonight and in the early hours of the morning, are going to have some effect to the sailings. At the moment, the Mananan overnight 2:45 has been moved forward quite substantially, leaving Liverpool at 5:45, so that's in the next 30 minutes. So if you're expecting to be picking someone up from that sailing, it looks as if they're going to be waiting for you quite a few hours early. Let's turn our attention to the airports. Nothing on the arrivals and departures board, so everything is looking all good over there.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
The RAF Red Arrows display team mark their TT return for 2025 on Thursday the 5th of June from 7:30pm in Douglas. Watch the display from Douglas Prom, Douglas or Onken Head, and hear the commentary live from Red 10, Squadron Leader Graham Muscat, only on Manx Radio, FM, AM and DAB from 7:25. Manx Radio's live commentary with the Red Arrows from Villa Marina Balcony in Douglas, Thursday evening, 5th June from 7:25pm.
Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
5:17 now, and a new government report has shed light on the so-called complex issue of poverty on the Isle of Man. The Council of Ministers' annual report on poverty measures has been published ahead of its this month's sitting on Tynwald. Lewis Foster is back with us now. Fastamai again, what's new in the report and what are some of the headline findings?
Fastamai, Christian. Yeah, well, there's a lot of information to try and digest from this 59-page report, not least because it includes results of two big surveys carried out recently. The Isle of Man Social Attitudes Survey, which we've covered a number of times on the programme this year so far, but also the Household Income and Expenditure Survey 2023/24. And it's that one that has caught people's attention today, because it's something that takes place every 5 years. And this is the first time we've seen some of the feedback from this latest round. Overall, the data from that survey suggests household income on the Isle of Man has increased by 10.8% since the previous survey carried out in 2018/19, though it's not known if it's kept up with or exceeded the rate of inflation over the same period. That stands at 21%. Meanwhile, compared to the UK, disposable household income on the Isle of Man is higher by around £17 a week.
OK, well, I'm going to come out and say that usually when reports start with something positive like that, there is a caveat. What is the catch?
Well, you're quite right, because despite this, it says many households are experiencing financial strain and are increasingly having to rely on savings to meet their expenses. We're all too aware of the cost of living. That's households in general, but the results paint a bleaker picture for those in the private rental market, of which a quarter, 25%, are said to be living in relative poverty. That means they're unable to maintain a certain standard of living in comparison to the average person in a particular society or country. And the report says this underscores the financial difficulties faced by renters who are more likely to experience economic hardship compared to homeowners.
And do we know what steps are being taken to combat this?
Well, the report refers back to the Objective Assessment of Housing Need, published this time last year, which includes a 10-year commitment to build up to 1,000 so-called affordable homes.
In terms of income as well, you'll remember the island's minimum wage increased to £12.25 back in April. A second planned increase to align the rate with the living wage later this year is currently under review. And we mentioned the cost of living. A big driver of that is, of course, energy costs. And government says the Energy Efficiency Scheme, launched in December 2022, has been taken up by 3,974 homes. There's much more, including a series of uplifts to various benefits in this year's budget, to income support, job seekers allowance and employed persons allowance, for example.
OK, so in terms of this report, what happens next?
Yeah, well, this will be laid before Timwald on Tuesday, the 17th of June, and we'll no doubt hear from some MHKs and members of the Timwald Select Committee on Poverty as well in the meantime.
Lewis Foster, thank you very much for that. Now it's 20 minutes past five. The island's road police say they've increased their law enforcement this TT. So far this year, the number of arrests and fixed penalty notice issues are up on 2024. The roads policing unit triples in size to cope with the demand of TT. Sergeant Lee Wright is from the RPU.
We've been enforcing more this year than previous years, so speeding's been a big one for us. This time in the period last year, we'd issued 124 endorsable fixed penalties. We're on 168 now. We've also made more arrests this time last year, and we've conducted more drug wipes and more roadside breath tests. But the back of that, collisions are down on what they were this time last year, so the enforcement is what we're doing, and the reason we're doing it is to keep people safe and reduce those injury collisions, which we have done.
Which is excellent to hear. But it's amazing, isn't it? You've got so many speeders when there's even more signs, isn't there, with the speed limits on?
Yeah, the signs are everywhere. It's clear as day, the hairpin being one of them. You would have seen the post where we had the fella over 50 mile an hour there, and then his documents weren't in order as well. It's crazy. The signs are everywhere. The speed limit signs are there. The one-way signs, the mountain. We've had a lot of people trying to go against the course this year on the mountain, turning at Brandywell. We're putting it down to sat-nav. So I'd just like to say to everyone, ignore the sat-navs and read the signs. There's plenty there to make sure you're going in the right direction.
Well, is it because we had Chief Constable with us the other morning, obviously, and one of the things I was saying to him is that one-way system must have made a huge difference to you guys.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's very complex way we have to police it, because it is obviously it's high risk up there, but we've got a dedicated control room who have a map essentially with lots of little tags of all the officers on there. And yeah, those guys are really on it, have us all strategically placed around that course, so we can, if something does happen, we can deal with it effectively.
Sergeant Lee Wright speaking to Christy DeHaven there. Well, let's turn our attention to the TT now, because TT veteran Dave Medson Migdal is thanking people for their support as he continues his recovery from a stroke earlier this year. He's watching the 2025 event from the sidelines, but told Radio TT he hopes to be back in some form next year.
I only had the stroke 16 weeks ago, so I'm not as strong as I should be anyway. So if I was fit and they said that I couldn't go, I'd be upset, but I know I'm not strong enough to come round here yet. But with any luck, I should be able to back next year.
And that's the thing, isn't it? It's a recovery that needs to take its time. So what are you going to be doing over the next couple of weeks?
Well, I'm not doing too much. I still go to the gym and everything. And I'm going to say I got to thank the doctors and the hospital at the Strip. I was in hospital for 4 weeks. And they were fantastic, and the physio, and I had physio every day and everything. And I couldn't speak, and I couldn't move my leg or my arm. But now I've been really well. But I have to thank everybody. They've been great.
We were talking about how great it is to have the replicas. You have a few of those in your cupboard.
Yeah, about 100 reps, I think, with silvers and bronzes and everything. So yeah, but. I still want to come back next year anyway, so it's still something special.
It really is, and even just to be here, I guess, for you and soaking up the atmosphere and being such a familiar face around here, I guess people will always be coming up to you and asking for some advice.
Well, yeah, I've been doing it since 85. The only ones I missed was COVID or foot and mouth, and it's strange, but It's still good. I used to come up here and talk to people and everything, and it's not so bad. It is very strange, but next year we'll be okay, hopefully.
Dave Madsen-Migdal speaking to Radio TT there. Well, let's stay with TT. We're joined now by sports editor Rob Pritchard. First to my Rob, what can you tell us?
First to my Christian. Well, it's been an absorbing triple header opening day of races at TT 2025 today. In the first of a trio of different contests, we had the shortened four-lap Superbike TT race, which saw Davy Todd emerge victorious after a nip-and-tuck battle between the front two. The 810 Racing rider ended up finishing just 1.2 seconds ahead of Michael Dunlop, with Honda's Dean Harrison coming home third. Well, taking what is his third TT win of his career so far, Todd told Radio TT he's also over the moon. It's success for all involved in the team, which he co-owns.
The boys have done a fantastic job, and man, it feels sweet. It's our own team. It's our team. It's not mine and Pete's. It's all of ours. And just got to say a massive thank you to all the guys and girls, everybody who's been a part of creating this team in the last 3 months. Bits beats us right now.
After that was the two-lap sidecar TT Race 1, and Manx brothers Ryan and Callum Crowe shattered the sidecar lap record to storm to an emphatic win. Their flying lap speed of 121.021 miles an hour eclipsed the previous lap record of 120.645 set by Ben and Tom Burchell 2 years ago. Incidentally, Ben Burchell and passenger Patrick Rosny finished second, a full 1 minute and 17 seconds further back, whilst Lee Crawford and Scott Hardy finished third to take their first ever TT podium. While speaking to Radio TT, both Ryan and Callum Crowe say they were pleasantly surprised to have hit their record-breaking pace.
That was some ride, that, by Ryan. Oh, it's been a long week. It's been a very long week, but very well done with Gary Thompson. I just want to say a massive thank you to all my team.
Honestly, Chris, I didn't intend it. I didn't think that would come. It's that windy out there. But yeah, it was just mint the whole way around. It was lovely. Couldn't knock it at all. You'll do well to get that on a standard engine, you know, so if nobody can get it this year, it'll be ours forever, won't it?
And last but certainly not least, the most successful TT racer of all time notched up his 30th TT victory in the final racing action of this afternoon. Michael Dunlop managed a last-gasp charge in the Supersport TT Race 1 to eventually win by just over 10 seconds from Dean Harrison, and with a final lap just shy of Supersport record pace of 130.313 miles an hour. Elsewhere, James Hillier on the Bournemouth Kawasaki finished third to claim his first TT podium since 2019. Well, in the winner's enclosure, Dunlop pointed out to Radio TT that for him, it's a victory with a seventh different manufacturer.
Milwaukee guys really wanted to, you know, they made an effort with the Ducati and really wanted me to win around the TT, and they took all faith in me to have a go. And between them and Quattro and Cheshire Mullins, we and the boys, built a lovely wee bike, and to win for all the boys in the 600 and especially to win for Ducati, you know, it's nice to get them back on the top.
And as it stands, we're due to have two more races tomorrow. All roads around the TT course will be closed on Tuesday from 10 a.m. The Super Stock TT Race 1 is currently scheduled to start at 10:45 a.m. And after that will be the Super Twin TT Race 1 at 2 p.m. All roads around the course will then reopen no later than 5 p.m. If there are any changes or updates to those, we will of course bring you them in due course.
Rob, do you reckon you could travel around the mountain course at 130 miles per hour?
I don't think even my mind can comprehend it, let alone my body.
I tell you what, when I'm driving around the place, the maximum speed I ever go, it seemed to go at, is like 40. I'm like, that's quite enough. Thank you very much. Well, that's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Amy Griffiths. Up next is Phil Gorn, who'll be here with Agenda. Jason Moore is sitting in for Chris Kinley after that from 6 o'clock with Greatest Hits. In Cotier will be in the hot seat after that, and of course Rhian Evans is taking you through till tomorrow with After Hours. Everything you've heard and more in more detail available at manxradio.com. If you want to dive into something in more depth too, then head on over to the Manx Newscast. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, so until then, take care, bye-bye for now.